A church kitchen must be filled with cheerful workers. Words show what is in your heart.
What a good turnout tonight for dinner. I saw a lot of new young families.
The church hall was absolutely full.
It was too full, if you ask me. We don't need to have everyone turn out for these things. Even those people from South America were here. And all those kids running around, laughing. It was so noisy, I could hardly hear anything. People should get babysitters when they want to go out.
My son, Jesus said, "Let the children come to me. Don't try to stop them."
Well, I think it was a great response for the homeless mission. Mm-hmm. I expect we raised quite a bit of money.
Money that would be better spent on renovations? Why should we be giving money to people who got themselves into their own messes? If people don't use good judgment, how can we help them with that?
Well, maybe some of them have just fallen on hard times. God did say the poor will always be with you.
My point, exactly. They'll always be here.
My son told you, whenever you fail to help any of my people, no matter how unimportant they seem, you fail to do it for me.
Well, I think our next mission project will be those towns that were hit by the big tornado.
So many people lost their homes.
God sent that tornado to teach those people a lesson. Those towns have more casinos than any others, and that state, it's going to allow gay marriages.
I make the sun to rise and the rain to fall on good and bad people alike.
Did you hear about Winnie's oldest daughter? She wants to go to State University to study paleontology. Of all things, all that evolution stuff, Winnie must be so disappointed.
Oh dear, she seemed like such a nice girl. She should go to a church college where they teach creationism.
Well, the church has tried to teach her. I remember that girl was at youth group the night we explained about so-called dinosaur bones being false clues put in the ground by Satan to mislead us.
I'll have the prayer chain pray for her soul.
I want everybody to be merciful to others.
Poor Mavis and George were here too. I don't know how they could come out for something like this after what their daughter did.
She always was a little different, but seemed nice enough. Do you think it was suicide?
I don't know. I told them how sorry I am that she probably went to hell.
Don't judge others, and I won't judge you.
Well, maybe her parents were being punished for something they did. The people at my old church said that my mother's death was to punish me for leaving their church.
To punish you, I would kill someone else? What kind of God do you think I am?
The Midfords were here too, acting like nothing had happened. Who do you think they're kidding? Everyone knows Timmy has gone gay. I don't know what got into him. He was such a nice boy.
Well, obviously, they're not good parents.
And if one of my kids pulled something like that, I'd slap him so fast into rehab, they wouldn't know what hit him.
I showed Peter long ago that I don't think anyone is unclean or unfit.
Clyde wasn't in the choir this week. You know they told him not to come anymore.
I didn't know that. Why?
Well, he was picked up with marijuana in his car. We can't have someone like that sitting in the front of the church, can we?
You're right there. At my office, I make it a point not to do business with people who smoke anything. It is sinful to defile your bodies with drugs and tobacco. We're temples for God.
You can see the speck in your friend's eye, but you don't even notice the log in your own eye.
That reminds me, there's a new temple being built in the next county. It's just going to bring more of those non-Christians into our area. Our kids should not have to be exposed to all of their ideas.
What is this world coming to? You just wait and see. In a couple years, one of those kids will say one of their prayers at commencement.
The way you treat others is the way you will be treated.
Have you heard about Elmer and Edith?
No, what?
Number 9, do not tell lies about others.
I hear that Elmer's been flirting around with a waitress down at the cafe. He goes every morning and sits in her booth so she waits on him. Edith thinks he's volunteering at the community center.
I think I know that waitress. I'll check with my friends at the coffee clash to see what they know.
Wait until Edith hears about this.
The bad words that come out of your mouth and what make you are unclean.
Well, I think we've done our share. This morning we have 3 different scripture lessons. You can follow along. The pages are listed in the bulletin. The first is on page 1175, Matthew 23, verses 34 through 40. After Jesus had made the Sadducees look foolish, the Pharisees heard about it and got together. One of them was an expert in the Jewish law, so he tried to test Jesus by asking, "Teacher, what is the most important commandment in the law?" And Jesus answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. This is the first and most important commandment. The second most important commandment is like this one, and it is, love others as much as you love yourself. All of the laws of Moses and the books of the prophets are based on these 2 commandments." From the 7th chapter of Matthew. Do not condemn others, and God won't condemn you. God will be as hard on you as you are on others. He will treat you exactly as you treat them. You can see the speck in your friend's eye, but you don't notice the log in your own eye. How can you say, "My friend, let me take the speck out of your eye," when you don't see the log in your own eye? You're nothing but show-offs. First, take the log out of your own eye, then you can see how to take the speck out of your friend's eye. Don't give to dogs what belongs to God. They will only turn and attack you. Don't throw pearls down in front of the pigs. They will trample all over them. And from John's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. But I am giving you a new commandment. You must love each other just as I have loved you. If you love each other, everyone will know that you are my disciples. May God bless this reading of the scripture.
Let's pray. As always, Lord, we pray first that these words will be acceptable to you, that in your own awesome and mysterious way, you will fit them into our lives, helping us to understand you more and each other more and to love you more. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A young single mom was having kind of a difficult time raising her little 4-year-old, and so she did what other parents have done in situations like that. She decided to join the local church, thinking and praying that maybe at this church she can find a little peace and support. However, she didn't last long in this church. Everyone kept telling me what I was doing wrong, she said, and no one bothered to ask me how they can help. So from this young single mom's perspective, the church had let her down. Now, if this was an isolated case or isolated incident, then it wouldn't matter so much, would it? And I wouldn't be talking about her. But what this young single mom said echoed the words of what young people are saying today about today's church and today's Christians, based on a 3-year study by the Barna Group involving hundreds of young people, ages of 16 to 29. According to this study, one of the findings they found is that more and more young people today are being turned off, are staying away from the church. In their 2007 book called On Christian, David Kenneman, who is the president of Barna Group, and Gabe Lyons, they surveyed hundreds of young people from every walk of life, from every corner of this country, from all races. They surveyed them by asking a question. How would you describe, they asked, the people you know who are Christians? And the answers that they got were very, very surprising. This is the beginning of a brand new series that Pastor Ray and I are doing based on Adam Hamilton's book, When Christians Get It Wrong. Hamilton, by the way, is the lead pastor of one of the fastest growing United Methodist churches in the country. They average something like 15 to 20,000 people in their worship services every week. Now, some of you sitting here, you're going to have a lot of trouble with this series that we're doing. I know I'm going to have trouble preaching this series. But if we ever hope to welcome and bring back young people into our churches, if we ever hope to help our young people establish a healthy relationship with Jesus Christ, then we have to figure out what they're thinking and why they're thinking. Now, this series is kind of focused on two different groups. First, it's focused on young people, those who have stayed in the church and those who have left the church. The second group that this series is focusing on is you and me. And throughout this series, we'll be taking a long, hard look at our actions and our attitudes, and we'll be answering the question, am I a part of the problem or not? And by the way, we will not be contradicting or correcting or contradicting the Bible. In fact, part of the challenge of this series will be for us to actually follow what the Bible says, to take it seriously and to do what the Bible wants us to do. So, back to the survey. Again, hundreds of young people were surveyed, ages 16 through 29, and they were asked a question. How would you describe people today who call themselves Christians? Part of the result went something like this. 87% of the young people surveyed felt, that is 87%, felt that Christians were too judgmental. 91% of the young people surveyed felt that Christians were anti-homosexual. 85% of all young people surveyed felt that Christians were too hypocritical. 75% felt that Christians were too political. And 70% felt, according to the survey, felt that Christians were insensitive. Think about a young person you know right now. Maybe a son or a daughter or a grandson or a granddaughter. Think about the teenager living next door to you. What adjectives would they use, in your opinion, to describe the Christians they know? When the same group of young people were asked about Jesus and what he stood for, a surprising majority of them said, love. And I agree. Love is at the very center, the very core of what Jesus taught. In fact, he told his followers, he said, God's will for the human race can be summarized in two commands. First, love God, and second, love your neighbor. In fact, Jesus went on to say who our neighbors were. Do you remember the parable of the Good Samaritan? Jesus said, our neighbor is anyone who needs help. And then Jesus in John 13 said this powerfully profound verse about love. He said, and they will know that we are Christians. They will know that we are disciples by our love. And by the way, for Jesus, love was more than just a feeling that happens between people. For him, love was something that you did. Love was something that you demonstrated. Love was something that you acted on. A young person in this survey had a youth group experience that the people taking the survey asked him to describe in a letter. Apparently, it was Bring a Friend Day at this youth group, and this young man was invited to attend the youth group. They were going to a water park that day. And this is what that young person had to say about his experience. He said, it didn't start off badly. The rides at the park were fun, and I even enjoyed hanging out with some of them. But during the long ride back to the church, they started talking about people. They discussed who was having sex, who was smoking, who was gay. The more they talked, the worse things they said. Many of the people they were talking about were my friends, and they knew it. To make things worse, some of the ones talking loudest were doing the very things they were gossiping about. Finally, they went on to the subject of who was going to hell. It seems that if you don't go to their brand of church, you didn't stand a chance of getting into heaven. That, of course, meant me. And it didn't matter to them at all that I was sitting right there soaking all this up. The hypocritical, the judgmental, the unloving spirit of these Christians that they displayed left this young man determined to leave his church and never come back again. A man had a mouse in his house, and his wife wanted him to catch it. This man couldn't find any cheese in his house, and he didn't feel like going to the store to buy some. And so he found a picture of some cheese in a magazine, and he cut it out, and he put that picture in the trap. And he was thinking, I'll fool the mouse. When he went back the next day to check on the trap, sure enough, there was this great, big, old, fat, juicy mouse in a trap. The problem was, it was in a picture. Now, whether the mouse was playing tricks on him, or somebody else, or someone else, something else, is another story. The point I'm trying to make is that this is how a lot of young people today feel about us Christians. We talk and we talk and we talk about Jesus and his love, and yet we seldom display that love. We talk and we talk and we talk about how we should follow Jesus, but we fall short in the following department. And folks, we're not fooling young people today. Adam Hamilton, in his book, he said, some of the most insensitive, critical, and mean-spirited people I've known were persons, he said, who claimed to be committed Christians. Also in his book, he tells a story about a funeral he officiated at. It was for a young person who had taken his own life, and you can imagine how his family felt, how devastated and brokenhearted they were. In his eulogy, Hamilton talked about God and God's love, especially during difficult times like this. And he encouraged everybody who was at the funeral to remember the unique and special qualities of this young man. After the funeral, a Christian husband and wife, they cornered Hamilton and they asked him, why didn't you tell them, meaning the parents, why didn't you tell them that their son was not going to heaven? Well, how do you know, he asked, that he's not going to heaven? Do you know what was in the boy's heart? Do you know the mind of God? The couple just looked at him, shook their heads, and they walked away. I could tell you my own stories about people who are Christians who act in unchristian ways. And I'm sure you could tell me your stories as well. Jesus was never like that. He had compassion on people. Even those people of old that the Bible called sinners, tax collectors, adulterers, prostitutes, lepers, sick people, poor people, he did not judge them. He did not condemn them. He loved them. In fact, the people that Jesus was most upset with in the Bible were the Pharisees and religious people of the day. What angered Jesus so much were the same things that are angering young people today. The judgmentalism, the hypocrisy, the mean-spiritedness, the insensitivity, and the unloving ways. The Bible is full of stories about Jesus challenging the Pharisees. He accuses them of being more interested in keeping laws and rules than in helping people and loving people. Gandhi said the very same thing to E. Stanley Jones, a famous United Methodist missionary. The two were talking one day, and Gandhi said, you know, I like your Christ, but I do not like your Christians. They do not act like Christ. Part of the problem for the Pharisees, and I think part of our problem as well, and you notice I said our problem, is that it's become too easy for us to see the flaws in other people but miss our own. Jesus put it this way in a passage Ray just read. He said, "Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eyes but miss the log in your own? How can you say, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from the other person's eyes." We judge people because they're different than us. We condemn people because we don't like what they're doing. And then we have the audacity to say Jesus is on our side when we know all along that Jesus doesn't take sides. He just tells us to love God and love our neighbor. I have a confession to make today. I am a recovering Pharisee, although I fall off the wagon quite a bit. I can be judgmental. I can be hypocritical. I can be mean-spirited, and I can be unloving, just like the Pharisees of old. I also confess that I'm part of the problem when it comes to young people staying away from the church. And I also confess that I can be so closed-minded when it comes to my opinions and my ideas, even my beliefs, that sometimes I don't hear the Spirit of Christ that's working and moving in my life. What about you? What about you and your actions and your words, your opinions and your platforms? Are you a part of the problem today or not? This series of messages, in case you haven't figured out yet, this series is kind of our wake-up call for those of us who act more like the Pharisees than the one we follow, Jesus Christ. You see, the bottom line is whenever we Christians are judgmental, are hypocritical, are mean-spirited, or unloving, it's those times we act in un-Christian ways. I'd like to finish the message today by reading the last paragraph from chapter 1 of Hamilton's book. It goes like this. When Christians get it right, they love and give. They work for justice and demonstrate kindness. When Christians get it right, they, like Jesus, befriend those who are outside the church rather than condemning them. And when Christians get it right, people are drawn to rather than repelled by their faith. This week, I challenge all of us to consider our words and our actions and our attitudes and our opinions. Consider the kind of message we're sending others, especially young people inside the church and outside the church. Ask yourself, are your words and your actions and your attitudes and your opinions, are they reflecting the love of Christ for everybody or not? Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we love you and we want to follow you, and sometimes we just get things mixed up. Help us, Lord, to understand why we do things the way we do. Help us understand the young people among us and what they're thinking and what they're seeing. And help us to be more like you. Pour out your Spirit on all of us and guide us and direct us in the paths you want us to take. We pray in your name, Lord. Amen.